Welcome, councillors, staff, members of the gallery. I declare the meeting the 25th of March 2025 Burwood Council open at 6:01 p.m. Can I ask, please, that you are all upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I'll also note that and acknowledge the Wangal people, who are the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to their elders, both past and present. Again, I remind councillors of their oath of affirmation of office under section 223A of the Local Government Act 1993 and their obligations under Council's Code of Conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. For those members of the gallery, and for those that may be registered and watching online, I just note that the meetings of Council and Council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting public transparency, and they are promptly made available for public review via the Council's website. I note there are no apologies or leave of absence needed, as all the councillors are present, and welcome again this evening, councillors. Do I have any declarations of interest? No, I note there are no declarations of interest. Do I have any declarations of political donations? I note that there are no declarations of political donations. The confirmation of the minutes for the meeting held on the 11th of February 2025 and the extraordinary council meeting held on Monday, the 3rd of March 2025. Yes, this week here. I'll get the minutes and then oversight, we had one speaker, so we'll get the speaker up. So the minutes have been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Yang. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Sorry, Richard. We have Richard Whitfield here for the adoption amendment to the Burwood DCP setbacks for 125 Burwood Road and 168 Burwood Road. Come up, Richard. Sorry about that. I had missed you. Michael Baker from SJB Planning has pulled out. Is that correct?
Yeah, he'll no longer be attending.
Okay. I'll just note to give you an update. You've got 3 minutes out. Code of meeting practice allows 3 minutes of speaking and to address the item only and for personalities or staff not to be addressed. So please welcome. I've just got to get your microphone back on. I think you pressed it off. Finn will do it for you. There you go.
There we go. We're on. Dear councillors, thank you for your time. I would like to amend the presentation that was previously prepared and registered following last minute discussions with council regarding the DCP amendment 1725. At this stage, I would prefer to simply voice my concern regarding the use of the term substantial refurbishment. I respectfully request that council provide some context or clarification around the intent interpretation of this wording. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. And sorry for that oversight again.
That's okay.
Councillors, our first item is Merrill Minute 2/25, which is livability improvements to new apartment developments, local planning control review. I'm not going to read through the whole minute, but I will put the minute that council endorse the proposal to conduct a review of council's local planning controls to incorporate essential communal facilities and enhance the livability of apartment style living, including end of trip amenities, dedicated music spaces for children, study and work from home breakout areas, exercise facilities, activated rooftop communal spaces and corridors of adequate width, to allow for easy manoeuvrability with natural light. The review will also consider the integration of hydrant facilities and substations to enhance the streetscape. And part two, that the general manager prepare a report on the necessary updates to both the build LEP 2012 and the DCP to implement the identified changes, including any additional recommendation for improvement. Any questions? Councillor Hull.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, look, I don't have a problem with this. It seems like a good initiative, apart from one thing. There's no mention of adequate car parking facilities in new apartment developments in this mayoral minute, unless I missed something. I didn't see any reference to that. I think it's essential that adequate car parking facilities be included in proposed amenities and facilities included in new apartment developments. Therefore, I would request that be included. I'm happy to move an amendment if needs be to the mayoral minute to just include the words car parking facilities in paragraph one, if you're agreeable to that.
Only because the intent of the mayoral minute is not to address car parking, it's to actually address the amenity of the actual apartment living, firstly. Secondly, the car parking code runs off with the state SEP, I believe. So there's actual guides that we actually have to be in line with. If you increase those, then they're counted as part of the floor space or the developable space of those apartment livings, which is just adding to more expense for the apartment. So in saying that, I believe currently if you've got a three-bedroom apartment, you have to provide, this is without visitor car spots, for the actual unit, you have to provide two car spots, and Ryan can correct me if I'm wrong through the GM. I think if it's two bedrooms, it's 1.5 from memory or 1.3. And I think if it's one bedroom, it's less than one. But you could provide one for those. The other issue is, I think with regards to car parking, which is, I think a separate issue to what I'm trying to address here in a minute, is then you need to look at the road network. There's no use having 1,000 car spots in the town centre if the road network in the town centre doesn't accommodate 1,000 cars. Councillor Wu?
Just in relation to electric charging, as more and more people buy electric vehicles, often people who live in apartments can't install their own chargers. So I'm wondering if this includes that.
We have, I believe, a policy that addresses that now. So part of the conditions of consent for developments is you need to provide, and again, Ryan can correct me through the GM, you need to provide the ability for someone to be able to install an electric charger. So I think they need to have the actual power run there. I might just ask the GM, Ryan, through the GM, if he wants to add to that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the moment, there isn't a technical provision under the DCP. However, we have been applying those requirements as the regional planning panel. So when large developments have been going through, the chair and the regional planning panel has been directing those conditions be applied about charges or the ability to provide charges in basements. So we have been applying those requirements. But this could be something included.
Yeah, happy for that to be part, to form part of the intent. So I think that could be noted. Happy for that. I think there was a bit of a, just to speak on that, there was a bit of a, I guess, a debate at the last JRPP meeting that I was on with the chair, the former Minister Scully, and the independent panel members, where I think we had a bit of a view that we should allow for the provision of EV charging stations to be there in the event that the owner has an EV and wants to then add a charger. I think they were forming the view that they wanted a charger on every spot, which while in a perfect world is great, it sort of has a bit of a hindrance on one, development costs, which adds cost to apartments, which is going against the principles of trying to keep apartment living affordable. The other one is Not everyone has an EV, so why would you put an EV charger on every parking spot? I think you should allow the provision for one to be added if you want one, but it shouldn't be mandatory to have it there if it's not going to be used, which is just an extra cost and burden. And the third thing is, I'm not sure where we're at with, and I don't believe we're at a place where our national grid could actually carry the load of having a car charger on every car spot in every apartment building in the state. So that were the concerns I raised. So I believe we landed at making the provisions. And then if someone has an EV and I think there will be a certain number, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, just from memory, there'll be a certain number in the building that will have EV charging, which are public spaces.
Yeah, that's correct. There'll be, I believe it was, I think 15% or something.
15%?
I believe it was in the condition, and then the rest was capable of being connected to later on. The critical thing is making sure the substation within the building has the capacity to have the additional load if required later on. So it's important that the substation in the building is built to the right scale to allow that power to come through.
I understand there's also fire safety compliance issues as well. So I'm not sure if, you know, I'm happy to move an amendment to this motion to add looking at electric charges for apartment living.
We could. I don't think it hurts to add. I don't think you need to add it, only because I think we can pick it up as intent for the minute. I've got no problems putting in maybe after adequate width to allow. Let me just have a look. Including end of trip amenities, comma, EV, possible EV allowance for EV charging, which we do now anyway, but comma, and just sort of having a review of that. The other thing with regards to car parking, I just wanted to note is, I think we've been speaking about allowing car share spaces in apartment buildings. So one of the things is that I think we need to lead to is changing people's habits on how they're moving around the city. It shouldn't all be about jumping in a car and moving down the road. And I know there's been some discussions I've had with residents who live close to Westfields that are still driving to Westfields. On a Saturday, oh, but you know, it's getting busier. So why are you driving? You live down the road. So people need to start changing habits, I think, as the population is increasing. If you look at our actual developments, and I think from the work that we've been sort of looking at and seen and the investigations, a lot of our apartments, especially in the mornings or of an afternoon, you won't see car movements in and out. The problem we're having with traffic issues are people driving through the area or driving to the area. It's not the apartments. You can go stand at the front of these apartments here in the morning or any of the apartment blocks. You won't be seeing 100 cars driving out going to work. They're actually walking out going to the station. So that's one thing. The other thing is there's no reason why we shouldn't possibly look at having car share spaces, because there is now a percentage of people that aren't actually purchasing a car. They're using like go-get cars, other car share services. Why should they be on the street? That should be a service that's provided as part of your apartment living, and it could be housed underground. I know there's an apartment block that was released by Lendlease in the city this week, and they actually had three cars that are shared cars available in their development if you buy a unit there. One of those, I think, was a Tesla Model Y, which people can access that live in that apartment block via an app, and then they can use the car rather than actually having their own car. Any other questions? I'll put them in. All those in favour? Those against, I'll declare that carried unanimously, I believe. next minute is the update to the proposed LGA boundary adjustment Croydon / build inner west boundary, MM3/25. The minute is there. I won't read out the whole minute. Is there any questions? Councillor Hull?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I take it that The PLC school was consulted about this. I know it was consulted about the original motion. I take it they were consulted about the latest development outlined in the minute. And if so, I take it there was no objection or questions from them about it.
The PLC school and the conversations I've had with the principal are very supportive of wanting to be under Build Council. And it makes good planning sense. So I've written to Inner West Mayor. We haven't heard. It took us a year or 8 months to get a Zoom meeting to discuss it. So I'm sort of not going to wait around, to be quite honest. I think it's something we need to move forward with. And then if we sit down and can fall into a place which is, I guess, amicable for everybody involved. It's actually about good planning. The problem at the moment is you have a school like PLC, which is majority of it in the Croydon part of the Build LGA, has a swimming pool and change rooms that are split down the middle. And for future planning and you know, it's a great education establishment institution there. We've got some great schools like MLC and Santa and Build Girls and Build Public School across the road. And, you know, we want to encourage all schools to provide to be great educators and nurturers of our children. And I guess going forward, it's important that we have schools have the ability to plan for the future as well. And the way the boundary is at the moment doesn't allow that. So I suggest we start the ball rolling, because I think this has been going on. We actually dug up, I think, a letter that dated back to 2008 or 2002. 2008, I think, that I had written when I was mayor back then to the minister. So there's some ideas that we have in and around this. This was very much initiated by the school as well. It's not classified a land grab because school property is not rateable property. So there's no incentive for us to, we're not doing this based on, you know, going to increase our revenue or rates. If anything, it would cost the council over time, maybe in funding with regards to services in and around that school precinct with the current road network, footpaths and so forth. So we're not increasing any rate income there. And as you can see from the pattern on that map, the school is slowly purchasing those properties in and around that block. So it makes perfect sense that we look at the opportunity to possibly change that boundary. See, any other questions? I'll put them in at all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimous. There was a late minute that we put up because, and I just wanted to get an approval in the event that we don't get a solution with or an agreement with our local police and the Greek Orthodox Church. And the minute is that council allocates up to $4,960. So I've used the word up to, from the 24-25 Council's donation program budget to St. Nectarius Greek Orthodox Church build to cover the cost of user pay police for their Good Friday procession on Friday, the 18th of April, 2025. Just a bit of background on that. Obviously, this year, the Orthodox Easter and the Christian Easter calendars align, which is causing an issue with regards to police resourcing in and around road closure, because you get a spill out from the church procession and a rolling street closure where the church procession goes around the church. So on that basis, we want to ensure that an event that's been happening for 50 years continues for as long as the church has been there. And we have been talking and liaising with the local police and the local area commander to try to fall on a solution. But this year there's an issue, obviously, because it falls on the same, or the dates align on the Good Friday. Is there any questions? Put them in at all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried Unanimously. Now we go into the reports of the meeting. The first item, I might ask for a change in the process because I know Mr. Whitfield is still here and he probably just waiting for that item. So we might deal with that item first. So I've got a mover in the change of the business order by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang, that we deal with item 17/25 first, and then we deal with the rest of the items in order. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. So the first item is 48. Page 48, which is item 17/25, which is the item that I believe Mr. Whitfield just spoke about, which is the adoption amendment to build DCP setbacks for 121 to 125 Billwood Road and 168 Billwood Road, Billwood. Do I have a mover? So, Councillor Manor, you've got an amendment? Councillor Manor?
I do. I'd like to propose an amendment, if I get a second to that. Mr. Mayor, the amendment, item here, with an amendment to recommendations, the wording, so there's some changes to the actual recommendation by council. So in response to the submission received and the speaker tonight, and to ensure the best planning outcomes and improved pedestrian safety around these key sites in Burwood Town Centre, I would like to refine the wording of the proposed DCP provisions to improve clarity on its purpose and application. The amended wording I propose is now on the screen as follows, and I think, did you distribute items?
Yes.
The first paragraph of point one is to remain unchanged of the recommendation. The second paragraph of point one and the subsequent sub-points one and two is to be deleted, and that the following be inserted in its place. This new additional provisions being part six, which is preceded by existing DCP parts one to five. Parts one to five outline general town centre setback requirements, provisions around structuring encroachment on public land and public domain materials. The new additional provisions is to read as follows. P6, notwithstanding P4 and P5 above, for the construction of the new building, substantial redevelopment or substantial refurbishment of an existing building on sites 121 to 125 Burwood Road and 168 Burwood Road, Burwood, a unique urban design response must be prepared to achieve the following outcomes. Point, enhance the heritage view of the former Burwood Post Office, facilitate and establish a public plaza along Burwood Road frontage, and third point, improve pedestrian safety, access and movement to and around the site. To achieve these outcomes, one, for the construction of new building, a minimum street frontage setback of 8 metres to Burwood Road and 3 metres to Railway Parade must be provided. Two, for the substantial redevelopment of existing buildings, a minimum street frontage setback of 8 metres to Burwood Road must be provided. Three, for the substantial refurbishment of existing buildings, the facade must be opened and unimpeded pedestrian circulation of ground level along Burwood Road is to be provided. Four, for subclauses two and three above, council may consider an alternate creative design solution, which is, in the opinion of council, provides an equivalent or better design whilst meeting the intended design outcomes of the clause. Now, there's some definitions in regards to the substantial redevelopment. Refers to any building modifications that results in any of the in any one or a combination of the following?
I think they're on the screen.
Are they?
Councillor, so.
Okay. So,
next ones will be 2, 3, and 4 would remain the same?
Correct. That's right.
Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Batten. You've been away. Almost forgot you. Councillor Manor, did you wish to speak?
No, I think that's been said. Safety of pedestrians is really important, access. And it's really been the discussions that's been had with council staff to get these outcomes that hopefully will support the concerns of the person that has got the site. That's pretty much it.
Councillor Batter, did you wish to speak? Any other speakers or questions? Councillor Hull?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm just so that I understand this correctly, in respect of a substantial redevelopment or a substantial refurbishment, the requirement for a 3-metre setback to Railway Parade could be either relaxed or take an alternative form subject to a proposal by the property owner of that property on Railway Parade and would be subject to consideration by council. Is that correct?
My understanding is if there's a redevelopment of the site or a substantial redevelopment, they would have to comply with the existing setbacks under the DCP currently.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Redevelopment, is that right? You were asking about redevelopment.
Which category? Sorry, I was asking about both a substantial redevelopment and a substantial refurbishment as opposed to the construction of a new building.
Yes, so the 3-metre setback under that would not apply under a substantial refurbishment or redevelopment, only if the building's knocked down and reconstructed.
I would have thought a redevelopment is a knockdown. But sorry, you've addressed that in P6, which says for the construction of a new building.
Correct.
Fair enough. That's what I was. Did question or did you want clarification?
Well, I think that's reasonably clear that if it's other than a construction of a new building and fits the definitions of the substantial redevelopment or substantial refurbishment, the 3-metre setback on Railway Parade is not applicable and is subject to whatever design proposal comes before the council.
That's any other questions? Any other questions? Speakers? Look, I'll just speak briefly. I thank the applicant for coming and speaking and making representations today. I know there was sort of an agreement to disagree, so we sort of agree, but we're sort of, I think, landing at a good spot. I think it's really important from community's perspective, and there's no doubt that possible future redevelopment outcomes may include or will include, based on the feedback from the applicant, some form of creative design in and around some pedestrian spaces along that build road, if there is a refurbishment. In saying that, council is very conscious of not making the actual property sterile or freeze it as an asset. We don't want to do that. That's not the intention. The intention is to ensure that we don't have a use in that building that may be there for the next 10 years or 15 years that doesn't address the need that we have now, especially with regards to some of the issues that have been raised by local police and RMS and our own planning staff and departments with regards to pedestrian safety and manoeuvrability in and around that area. You have close to 100,000 visitors a week jumping out at that intersection, crossing the road into Burwood Chinatown. 100,000 people visiting a week to that area. So we need to ensure that one of the things about coming to Burwood is it's safe, but there's great pedestrian spaces, great public squares. You don't feel like you're sort of squashed in and around the town centre. And that's why council has been investing heavily in the future master planning of ensuring that we have great spaces, great public squares, you know, policies that address, you know, whether you have a license to play, creativity, you know, making it much more flexible with regards to businesses. Last Friday, we had the minister out here. We announced a bill that has been designated a special entertainment precinct. The government's giving us close to $200,000 to create a plan, which we will do and actually have ready by Christmas 2025, which will allow certain areas like Burwood Chinatown from Burwood Road to here to Burwood Council, which could then operate technically under a 24-hour operation. We're becoming a city now that is really becoming a destination and an experience. My view would be that we would possibly look at a report, at the report that will come to the next council meeting, to give you a brief on what we're doing with regards to the special entertainment precinct, that we even look at possibly widening the area to include up to Ford Lane, which would take in those properties along Burwood Road up to Ford Lane, which will be part of that special entertainment precinct. Now, I believe from the understanding and discussions I've had with staff and the questions is that that is doable. The department is happy to consider that and they would like to include that. It would obviously involve a resolution of council that we could look at the April meeting. So watch out for that. So in saying that, if council has the intent to include what would be this property as part of that special entertainment precinct, I think it shows that we have the intent that we're not there to sterilise any site. We just want to get really good outcomes. It's a landmark site, smack bang, as you walk out of the railway station. The majority of people, or you get at least 50% of those people, are walking up towards that side of Burwood Road, and what they see in front of you is what is currently the Westpac building. So it is a landmark building for people that are driving between Croydon and Stratfield along Railway Parade, where we have plans to create a boulevard all the way from the Strand in Croydon along Paisley Road. You then come into Railway Parade and then it spits you right out into Stratfield, where we're creating a boulevard of streetscapes with palm trees and flags and new lighting and possible contemporary lighting. We want to ensure that anything that's proposed on that corner fits in with that vision and master planning and creates really good public spaces for pedestrians, visitors, and guess what? It's in line with council's vision that when you come to Burwood, you're having an experience and it's a destination. So thank you again to the council staff for being creative in wanting to work to achieve the outcomes of what we fits in within our master plan, and also to the applicant for understanding and wanting to work with council to achieve that vision and that goal. Councillor Manning, you're right to reply.
Well said. Thank you for that information.
I'll put the amended motion as per the screen. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is item 11/25, which is the draft creative build strategy for 2025-2035 endorsement for public exhibition on page 11. Now, while you're getting that report up in your papers, I'm not sure if we're allowed, Richard, if you like, you've got a copy. Good. Draft Creative Build Strategy 25-35 endorsement for public exhibition. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 12/25, which is license to play on page 15, been moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Wu. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. 13/25, draft Burwood reflection on our reconciliation action plan, which is on page 19, if I got that correctly. Moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for Councillor Hull, you've got a question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I just have a couple of quick questions about this. I know we were briefed on this the other night, but reading through the paperwork, it just impressed upon me, you know, the amount and extent of council time and resources going into this proposal. And I just wanted to ask a couple of things pertinent to that. Firstly, I note there was
So I'm going to get into questions rather than comments, and then when you can speak at them for the
moment. Just a couple of questions, Mr. Mayor. The cultural awareness training that was conducted by the Yarnup group, I just wanted to know what fee did council pay that group to conduct that training and to conduct
hand activities? Over to the GM, Chancellor.
Now, Councillor, from memory, I'll ask Brooke to help me out, but I remember the engagement, I think, included a number of outputs and deliverables, not just that bit, but I'll ask Brooke to clarify that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there were two lots of cultural awareness training. So the executive leadership team and council staff, including frontline staff, so up to 60 people were trained, as well as community organisations, at approximately $16,000.
Yeah, just one other, Mr. Mayor. I note in the recommendations to the report, there's a recommendation to set up an annual budget dedicated to these activities. Just wondered, it's probably no concrete figures available, but just wondered, what does a council intend to do that? And secondly, if so, what sort of budget are we talking about? What sort of range of figures would we be talking about there, just as an estimate?
General Manager, I'll hand back over to the Director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we've actually prepared a draft budget that's yet to come to Council. We've not called it out as a separate line item in our budget, so we've not dedicated resources or a budget line item to implementation of the RAP, because we see that the work that's outlined in that action plan is actually very much what we already do. It's very much integrated into how we operate. So we have a bucket of funds that's there for implementation across all of our strategies, from things like Creative Burwood, the Reconciliation Action Plan, our youth plan, our Safer Burwood plan, and that amount in the draft budget is approximately $40,000 across all of those strategies. But for the Reconciliation Action Plan, we've not called that out as a separate line item, and we don't have allocated dedicated resources. Yeah.
Any other questions? So part of those programs, from what I understand, is when we do Welcome to Country, there's obviously a fee or a cost sometimes where we get a consultant in to do that. That's generally part of what we do anyway. The other thing is there are aspects that are built into what we're doing, like we have the tours, the Indigenous tours that we have in our parks and public spaces. So I know last year we had some tours from one of our Indigenous elders who did the Cooks River walk, one that also did Wongle Park, one that we also held in Burwood Park, which actually were quite, and this is just one example of some of the, programs that we hold that come in under that budget that the director has just outlined. But in saying that, that's part of our experience under our creative policy here in Burwood as well. So part of that is we've got Indigenous tours, like we have heritage tours, like we have tours on our public art program. So we're trying to create an experience, trying to create tourism with regards to working with the local hotel here and the future hotels that come as part of the Build RSL redevelopment, also as part of other proposals that we're seeing. So part of that cost is in that, Councillor Hull. And those Indigenous tours or walks, if you'd like to, that spoke about you know, different plants, the way Indigenous communities lived in the area at the time, were quite well well attended, very interesting, gave a real historical background and appreciation for not just country, but for the environment and the land on where we are in those parks. They were very well attended by young people as well, who obviously then, from what the feedback I was getting, were much more appreciative about those public spaces and taking care and ownership of those public spaces. So in regards to, for example, littering or, you know, vandalism and those type of things. So there was ownership and involvement from that aspect. So while there is a cost to that, there's a bigger, broader picture, I guess, in and around what that means. Is there any other councillor?
Last time, just through...
Well, not a lot, but a little bit.
Little bit.
And my ears are getting worse.
No worries. Last time I asked Brooke at the briefing how many Indigenous staff worked at council. Do we have a figure for that now? Or we don't, or does council not keep a record of the minorities within council staff?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we asked staff to disclose that typically at the recruitment phase. However, we don't have concrete data on that. It's up to the individual as to whether they disclose or not. They're not required to inform us. So we don't have a concrete number to be able to share with you around individual staff.
And then just another question, which is, this is for this year and next year. Will we then reevaluate next year how much the RAP has cost council, you know, whether to adjust the budget next year? So is that an ongoing evaluation rather than a set budget allocation?
Through you, Ms. Mayor, absolutely. That's how we would operate. So it's an 18-month, because it's the first, we're at the very infancy of the Reconciliation Action Plan process. Whether we progress to the later phases is completely a decision that would be up to council. We are now required to report to on our actions and activity on a six-monthly basis to you in our six-monthly report, so you would see an update. We also will be compiling an annual report on our progress, which goes to Reconciliation Australia and is part of our external reporting requirements. We can make that information available to all councillors. And in determining the next phase, when we get to the end of the 18 months, we would put a report up to council. Many councils have done just the reflect wrap and not necessarily progressed across to the next phases, and other councils have been on this journey for a long time. So it's really a matter for council to determine, and we can provide information on our progress. Some councils also opt to extend and realise that it's actually quite difficult to achieve all of the actions set out before them in an 18-month process. And some councils can actually extend the implementation timeframe. So not necessarily committing additional resources, but committing, recognising that a lot of it's based upon relationships which do take time to establish. So all of those options would be available to council.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do I have any further questions? Being moved by Councillor Batten, seconded by Councillor Manner, the Deputy Mayor, write a reply. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare it carried. I transfer it, we don't need to. You don't want a division, do you, Councillor? No. You're not. Against. Did you want a division or recorded against, or you're, oh, it does anyway in a minute. Okay. Before we move on to item 14/25, I'd like to welcome a visitor in the gallery who's from Lebanon, actually, John Habib. So welcome, John, for being here. He's visiting. John actually is from my father's village in Lebanon, and my father told me that he and John's father were actually best mates. So John wanted to come out. He's here on a holiday, and I think he likes Australia, loves Australia, he tells me, and he wanted to come and just watch a council meeting. So he was here tonight. Thank you, John. Welcome. Item 14/25, swimming pool policy inspection program, page 23. It's been moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor S. Awu. Speakers for or against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. 15/25. Can I just note that if I'm not there as the voting delegate, it's usually the deputy mayor. I can't remember if that was in the report. So that's on page 37. So just if the mayor is not there as the voting delegate, it would be the deputy mayor generally. Are you going, George? Okay. It's open to all councillors that want to attend. You just have to register. And then there's also a assembly conference, I think, in Victoria or Melbourne, which is, it's not Korea. I'm being cheeky. Did you see the article about Strathfield? But, it's but this is a really good one. If councillors, I think that's open to councillors too, is that right? Melbourne. It's a placemaking one. And I know we've got Miriam who is going to be presenting this year. It works really well. There's tours of place and spaces in Melbourne. It's a two-day event from memory. I think I went down for a day last year. And you do a couple of tours through some of the city centres there. And there's a bunch of presenters. A number of presenters from local councils that work on projects. And there's also architects, space making consultants, IT. Last year, I remember watching a presentation from a company that was an AI consultant that spoke about the way they designed a digital public art installation in one of the buildings in the city. I forgot which one it was, which was on a corner, which was quite visible through you walking through that space or alongside that space. I couldn't remember the building. But anyway, so it was a really good outcome. I actually then went out and visited here when I went past in the city just to see it. So it was quite interesting. So it's really good. I encourage councillors, if you get an opportunity and you're available at that time, to actually have the opportunity to attend. So that's been moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Manner. And if councillors are interested in attending, please just make staff let them know. So just email. I think you'll get an email from governance, am I correct? Or from the GM or Melissa's GM's office. Just let them know so we get the early bird rates, that's all. Any other speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 16/25, investment report, moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Yang. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. 17/25, adoption of amendment. Oh, sorry, we've dealt with that one. Report to committees, RC1/25, to receive and note to adopt the report, moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Batter. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. RC2/25. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Yang. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And RC3/25, moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Yang. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Before I close the meeting and thank all the staff and everyone for sitting through, that we've got two new governance officers, Sophie and Finn, who are here. Do you want to stand up and say a quick wave hello? So they're here. Welcome to council, and I hope you enjoy your time in our meetings. Thank you. So any other things you wanted to add, Tommaso? Nothing else. I'll declare the meeting closed at 10 minutes to 7 p.m. Thank you for your time.